The message today is the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17, starting at verse 20. And being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God cometh, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or there, or lo, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, Lo there, lo here, go not away, nor follow after them. For as the lightning, when it lighteneth out of the one part under the heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came, and destroyed them all. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful with all the voices surrounding us telling us so many things, that our ears are attentive to the voice of him who spoke so long ago. We are thankful that thou hast told us that you spoke in the last days in your Son. And we believe he was your Son. We believe that he came with your message from heaven. And this being so, we embrace that message. We are thankful that we have a message from heaven spoken through the lips of thy Son. We are glad that he told us about the past. We have wondered if it were so. We are glad that he demonstrated the truth, a power that man knows nothing about today, when he was on the earth. And we are glad that he told us about things that were going to take place in the future. We knew nothing about the future, our God, save what thy Son told us. And we rejoice that all the things that he told us would come to pass, he was able to demonstrate when he was on earth. And we have faith to believe that all these things that he told us shall yet come to pass, shall come to pass in the fullness of time. So, our Father, from the portions that we have read, teach us, prepare us, our God, warn us, fill us with hope, all that is contained in the passage that we have read, may it be a profit to us, because the inspired scriptures are profitable. They are written for our learning. We rejoice in this. Our Father, thou knowest our sins. If of ourselves the sufficiency were necessary, we would not even make an attempt to do anything for you. But our God, our sufficiency is of God. Therefore, empower and cleanse and purify and prepare the hearts of those who listen. Bless us this day, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before that time, there was no time. There were no days. You begin measuring time in days. That's the way that God did it. You'll find nothing about a minute in Scripture. You'll find in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, but you find hours and you find days. And days, 360 days, make up a year. I'm not unaware of 365 and a quarter, but the years in the scripture, the prophetical years, are 360 days in length. And these days also are spoken of, not necessarily a 24-hour period, but a certain amount of time during which certain characteristics are prevalent among men. And for that reason, our Savior, and this is the marvel, our Savior becomes a part of time. What is so awesome is that he who was with God and was God had a beginning in time. Jesus had a beginning. It says, now when Jesus was born, isn't that a remarkable thing? Jesus was born, but he was. When he was born in a manner that only God can comprehend, the Word who was with God and was God was made flesh, not ceasing to be God, but at the same time becoming man. And the Lord Jesus told us that. He said, a man who told you all the truth. The Savior called himself a man, a remarkable thing. At the same time, the Lord Jesus called himself, I am. So this one who walked among men was a man, and at the same time, he was I am. And there is no need to try to fathom it to its depths. It is something that must be accepted because it is revealed to us and must be left to God to comprehend. How is it that when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, the power of the Most High overshadowed her, that holy thing which was begotten of her was called the Son of God. But that is how God left heaven and came to earth and became a man. And then his days began, and then his days were numbered, and his days ended. Do you realize that? I can tell you in the briefest number of words how our Lord's existence on earth is expressed. Listen to it. The days of his flesh. In Hebrews 5, it says, concerning our Savior, who in the days of his flesh, you remember, the Word was made flesh, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him out of death. So, if you ask me, how would you describe our Savior's sojourn on earth, his tabernacling here? I tell you, without hesitation, why, the days of his flesh. That is the way that God describes it. When he who was with God and was God became flesh, and it simply says, who in the days of his flesh. And this is the way that Christ prayed to his Father in the psalm. It says, he weakened my strength, he shortened my days. Your days and mine could be 70 years. But our Savior said this, he weakened my strength, he shortened my days. So less than 70 were his. God shortened his days. But all of his days are spoken of as the days of his flesh. Now, when our Savior ended the days of his flesh, he expressed these thoughts. He said, the days are coming when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. So this is another period of days. In the future, when Christ comes back again, they're going to be called the days of the Son of Man. So, you have days when he was on earth, and you have days when he's coming back again. When he comes back again, they're going to be the days of the Son of Man. And they will be the days of his presence. But now, we have the days of his absence. The Bible speaks about, do you not recall that when he was with you? You say, well, isn't he with us now? That is something you have to comprehend in a twofold way. If you ask me, is Jesus with you? I could tell you, no. You say, no. Well, if he's with us, what did he mean when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is he with you? You say, well, he's gone to be with the Father. Well, he's not with us. No. If he is, then something has happened that I don't understand. I'm waiting for him to come and take me to heaven. So he's not with us. But yet, the last thing he said in Matthew 28 was this, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so if you say, is he with you? I'll say, yes, he's with me. Do you understand? Spiritually, he is with me. Have I given you the scripture? You say, he promised he would be with you always. But I'll tell you also that scripturally, he is not with me. He said, little children, yet a little time am I with you. I go unto him that sent me. You say, well, he's just said he's going to leave us, and yet he says, I'm going to be with you. Well, there is the spiritual presence of the Lord Jesus, like this. Christ in you, the hope of glory, like God. He is in us forever. The Father, Son, and Spirit are in us. The Lord Jesus speaks of that in the Upper Room Discourse. He says, if a man keep my word, he speaks of the Father coming, he speaks of himself coming, and the Comforter coming, and they are permanently within a believer. I rejoice in that. But I mention those words to show you two things that the Scripture tells us that can be seen and can be understood if you do not confuse the two. Lo, I am with you always. Then, Jesus, I do not need for you to come back again. You're already with me. No. Lord Jesus, you are not with me. I want you to come back again. But at the same time, yes, Lord Jesus, you are with me. I could not go through life unless you were with me. Now, in like manner, it says in Luke 17, when the enemies of Christ say this, when is the kingdom of God going to come? The Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. And I can remember, as a very young man, one with whom I worked, saying, why, you're talking about the kingdom. Don't you understand that it's all spiritual? Don't you understand that the Bible says, the kingdom of God is within you? Yes, I do. I read those words to you this morning, just as I'm going to tell you this, and it will help you to understand two things that are similar but distinct. It says concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again, that he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. But it also says in 2 Peter, until the day dawn, it says, and the day star arise in your heart. The day star arise in your heart. Well, where is that? You say, that heart is within me. So there is such a thing as the coming of the Lord being experienced within you. You say, yes. And there is such a thing as the coming of the Lord being enjoyed outside of you. You say, yes. And in like manner, there is the Spirit of God teaching us that there is such a thing as the kingdom of God within us. That is the spiritual aspect of it. And there is the kingdom of God outside of us, which is the physical aspect of us. Those things must be remembered. And for that reason, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God came within me one day when I trusted Christ as Savior. It was this instant, just like that. It wasn't here or there. Yes, Lord Jesus, I trust you as Savior. Then in that spiritual sense, the kingdom of God immediately was within me. But concerning the appearing of the kingdom of God, that is not within me. That is something outside of me. And the kingdom is going to be within me in a spiritual sense, but thank God, in a literal sense, I am going to be in the kingdom in an outward sense. It is both within and without. The coming of the Lord is both within and it is without. And what happens is that some who superficially read the Word of God, they read the spiritual aspects and they forget the literal aspects. Whereas others, such as evangelicals, they read the literal aspects and they set aside the spiritual. But both of them are there, and one is as true as the other. And when you speak of one, it is not to deny the other. And to speak of the outward visible kingdom is not to deny the inward invisible kingdom. So we have them both. So there's some wondering about the kingdom of God, but I must tell you this interpretation, because some say that the word entos, that is translated, lo, the kingdom of God is within you, they say that there are examples in classic Greek where it means it is in the midst of you. If they can set them forth, then the interpretation would be this. We're looking for the kingdom. When is it going to come? The Lord Jesus said, when is it going to come? It's already here. Who am I? They wouldn't acknowledge it. But he is the king, and he has his disciples, and the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Well, there's not going to be any more of a kingdom than when the king and his subjects are in his kingdom. How could you have any more of the kingdom? You say you couldn't have any more of it. No. You could have various manifestations of it, but you could have no more of the kingdom. Therefore, in that sense, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Why? Because here is the king, and Peter, Andrew, James, John, the followers of the Lord Jesus, and the Savior is in the city of the great king, Jerusalem, and therefore the kingdom is in their midst. But that is not the kingdom that we pray for, and that is not the kingdom that God promises us in the Scripture. And if you are one who only has a spiritual perception of the kingdom, then your vision is incomplete, because God tells us that there is another aspect of the kingdom, which is a physical aspect of the kingdom. And for that reason, let me tell you of a threefold aspect of the kingdom. There is the physical, literal aspect of the kingdom, and that is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there is the judicial aspect of the kingdom that is found primarily in the teachings of Paul. And then there is the moral, the spiritual aspect of the kingdom that is found in the Gospel of John. And if I'm teaching you the spiritual, the moral aspect of the kingdom, it doesn't mean I'm denying the literal, the material. And if I'm speaking the judicial, I'm not neglecting the other two. I'm simply telling you one at a time and not all three at a time. It's the same way with the evangelicals who are so concerned about Christ being the Son of God, the virgin-born Son of God, that they would never speak of Joseph as his father. And yet the Scripture does. Mary said, Son, your father and I sought thee sorrowing. You say, it does. Yes, it says his parents. Once the Scripture says that our Savior was born of a virgin, it was brought about by the Spirit of God, and that Joseph was not his father, then afterwards when it speaks about your father, it understands that Joseph is his foster father, and then the scripture isn't worried at all anymore. It has let you know that Christ is the virgin born, the incarnate Son of God, and it doesn't worry anymore. And in like manner, when the scripture has plainly set forth these various aspects of the kingdom, then if you cannot distinguish between them afterwards, the scripture isn't going to bend over backwards to simplify it for you. You simply have to learn the same way about salvation. If you ask me, have you been saved? I would say yes. If you ask me, are you being saved? I would say yes. And if you ask me, well, are you going to be saved? I would say yes, because all these things are true. Have I been redeemed? Well, no. What? I'm waiting for the redemption of the body. Are you? You say, yes. Have you been redeemed? No. Well, you understand? So the scripture speaks in various ways of redemption and the kingdom, ever so many things. And you have to look at them and learn to distinguish them. And having learned, say, why, of course, this is the literal appearing of the kingdom. So, this kingdom being within you, that's one thing. But the Savior, speaking about the coming kingdom, is another thing. And that is what he is talking about when he speaks about the days of the Son of Man. When he speaks of the days of his flesh, then we read in the Gospels about the time when the life of Jesus began in Bethlehem of Judea. And we look at the consummation of the days of his flesh when he said, "It is finished." And he expired. He gave up the ghost. And they took him down and buried him, and he was dead for those 3 days, and on the third day he arose. That is the end of his days of the flesh. You cannot add one more day to it. It did not begin before Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the days of his flesh do not continue after he rose from the dead the third day. This is a different form of existence for our Savior. And for that reason, I rejoice and I have longed to be with our Savior when he was on earth. There's nothing that would have been more thrilling than to have been present with Christ when he spoke those words that I have read through the Gospels for so many years, when he taught, when he visited in the home, when he wrought miracles. It would have been so thrilling. My desire is that I could have been with our Savior then. My desire now is to be with the Savior in the days of the Son of Man. And that desire is going to be realized. But what you must understand is that our Savior understands, as we must understand, that for a period of time there are the days of his absence, and he told us about them. He told us exactly where he was going to be during the days of his absence. He put it this way in John 14, "In my Father's house." I go there, to my Father's house. In Luke 19, he said that the kingdom of God is like unto a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So while our Savior is in that far country, or in his Father's house, or at the right hand of God, while he is there, these are the days of his absence. And during those days of his absence, when the Savior is no longer with them, he sympathizes with them. This is what he said, "Little children, yet a little while am I with you, and as I said to the Jews, you shall seek me and shall not find me." Those are the days of his absence. "Yet a little while am I with you." But he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Yes. But in the sense that he had been with them in the days of his flesh. "Yet a little while am I with you. I told them I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come." All right. Now, He expresses it in Luke 17 in this way. He says, "The days are coming when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it." Now, the disciples have a desire in their hearts that I've never had in mine. I never, with Peter, had the Savior to lay his hand on me and pull me up from the waters as I was drowning. At the same time, with John, I have never placed my head upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus. So I know nothing about having been with the Savior in the days of his flesh and then being left by the Savior. I have no such experience, but I have a desire, the way that they have a desire, for the Savior to return and for the days of his flesh to begin, and that is my portion, the portion of all who believe. And what is most precious to us is hated and most dreaded by the others. Keep this in mind. The Savior says this. He said, "You are going to desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you're not going to see it." Please understand that the disciples knew that the Savior was going away, and they knew, they believed that he was coming again. Why? Because they desired to see one of the days of the Son of Man, not one of the days of his flesh. It is not that they wanted to go back again where they were. Peter would have been glad to have that experience on that Mount of Transfiguration when he said, "It's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." They would have been glad to remain forever on earth with Christ in the days of his flesh. But the Lord Jesus said, "It is expedient that I leave you. I must go back. I must go, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come unto you." So understand that the Savior had told them plainly that he had to go away and that he was going to be gone a long time. You say, where does it say that in the Bible? It said he went into a far country. It said that after a long time he returned. It says in Matthew 25, while the bridegroom tarried. You say, it does say that. And yet it says, "Behold, I come quickly." Yes, it says that. So he prepares us for both of those things. And in Luke 19, it said he spoke the parable about that nobleman going into a far country because they expected the kingdom of God to appear immediately. Notice, the kingdom to appear immediately. And for that reason, he said, no, these things must transpire. So the disciples are left on earth for several reasons. And it is a purpose that they are left on earth. It is not as if there were an ark and the door were shut and we did not get in. But the Savior prayed to his Father, "Father, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but I pray that you would keep them from evil, keep them from the evil one." That is our Savior's prayer. So they are left here, and he knows the longing of their heart. And for once, their desire is worthy of his desire. Do you remember that at that first Lord's Supper and the last Passover, their desire was unworthy of his desire? He said unto them, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And they were contending who was the greatest. That was their desire. But now, the Savior says this, "The days are coming when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man." Now that is worthy. Do you have that desire in your heart? Or are you succumbed by the delay? It says, while the Savior tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Have you been so discouraged that the hope of Christ coming back again has been taken away from you, and you go through life dejected without looking for the return of our Savior? It says this, "The Savior knows our feelings when we want him to come back so intensely, and yet he says, you will desire it but you're not going to see it. You see that warning? Now, that warning is essential for us today. Back during the Second World War, some of us are old enough to remember that. Some of you weren't born. When Mussolini and Hitler came on the scene, we knew that the Lord was coming. Mussolini is the Antichrist. We know this. He's the head of the revived Roman Empire. We knew all of those things, you see. But then, you'll find that it wasn't so. And many people were led astray. Many prophetical errors were taught at that time. And now, when the earthquakes start, and especially Saddam Hussein comes upon the scene, and we have things on videos, and we have books and all of them, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Well, come, Lord Jesus. But I want you to understand this. He said, understand that you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and see it not. And now, all of you, I've heard it say, Jesus is coming soon. And then they said, Jesus may come today. And one man of the conference said, don't speak about Jesus coming today. The coming of the Lord is imminent. He may come at any moment. And I remember what old Brother Van Ryan said. He said, it's all a lie. He said, from a child, he said, I've been reading crosses along the highway. Jesus is coming soon. He said, I'm 80-some years old now, and he hasn't come yet. He said, it's all a lie. Do you understand? So Jesus may come today. I hope he does. But you don't know he's coming today. But what happens is this, that all of these radio evangelists and television evangelists are laying hold on you. And what happens is that you are so overcome with the desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man that you are led astray and you cease doing the things that the Savior told you to do until he comes. And for that reason, I'm not going to worry. I know what I'm to do until he comes. It says, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. And if he came now, I would be feeding you, giving you your food in due season. I'm not going to say, I can't study anymore. I have to go and stand on the rooftop and look for the coming of the Lord. It could be any minute. That's exactly what happened to the Christians in Thessalonians. Some of them had given up working. But the Lord is going to come any moment, so why work anymore? Well, the Lord's going to come. You don't need any preaching today, and so I'm just going to wait. You don't do that. You continue in his occupations. You take the pounds. You take the talents he's given you, and you occupy till he comes. And yes, you long for the coming, and you pray, come, Lord Jesus, but you are not led astray. And the Savior tells us how things are going to be in that coming day. And so I can say this, things are looking similar today. So because of that, renew your activity and know perhaps the desire of your heart shall be realized sooner than you think. But I'm not going to say when and I'm not going to say where. But understand that the days of the Son of Man are coming and that worthy desire of our heart shall be realized. Come, Lord Jesus. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, you stayed on earth so short a time speaking to us through your Son, and you've been gone so long, and thou dost know that we desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and that he said, you are not going to see it. So let us not be weary in well-doing. You have told us that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In the fullness of time God sent his Son, and you have said, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So our Father, when thy Son comes, let us be found faithful. Let there be that desire in our heart. And let us be able to say with Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. And so, Father, we are glad that there is that desire in your absence for the return of your Son. And therefore, let us do all in our power to hasten the day, to speak, to build up Christians, And then, our Father, our desire is that thy Son may come, and we will not be ashamed before him at his coming. Hear our prayer, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.